Are you ready to go? I mean, I don't want to interrupt your coffee.
Make it quick.
You got stuff to do?
Yeah.
I have nothing to do. I literally sit around and each week and just wait to podcast.
Yeah, you got the mark on the calendar that says podcast with Adam here.
Days until podcast. And it's just like, it's one of those countdown clocks, like the national debt. So, needless to say, I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 183 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. Adam is yawning.
Yes.
This is Alan in. We gotta start that again, man.
No,
that was
terrible. Just roll with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was awful. I forgot even how to do it.
Just say Two Hosers.
Of the Two Hosers Photo Show.
You're
my
out.
Name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is
Adam. Vancouver.
Said Adam.
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam?
End of the work week. It's end of the work week, so I apologize. I always have something to apologize for. My, you know, my low energy, super. But I get it ramped up as we go. Yeah, I can't pronounce anything or make any words come out of my mouth that make sense.
So. Right. Check out my new microphone.
You got a sweet new microphone.
Yeah,
it's all silver and black. And
it looks better than I sound.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I wonder if it will sound good or just look good.
I don't care. It's better to look good than feel marvelous.
Okay.
I'll call Billy Crystal and get that one straight. So what is going on photo-wise, though? I mean, not photo-wise, but Canada Day came and went.
Canada Day, yeah.
Good day.
Yeah, great day. Nice day.
I had a great day. It's my first one in 4 years, as I posted on Facebook. And it did not disappoint. The weather
was great.
Great. Not great for photos.
No.
You did okay. I like your photos.
It was very bright and sunny with the sun at the time we were out directly overhead. So
yeah, it was a little bit ugly. I found it difficult because I packed light. Before I left the house, I thought we would spend the day there. Turns out that was a bad idea.
Whoa.
Did a car just crash into your house?
Yeah, backyard, something going on.
Wow. I thought we'd spend the whole day, but that was a horrible idea because there's so many people and nothing to do at that point.
Right.
And so I packed light. I thought, okay, what's the one camera body and one lens I'm going to take? Like, what am I going to... What? And my wife said to me, well, what photo do you want? Do you want photos of the parade? The answer was no.
No.
No, I don't need photos of the parade. And so I kind of wanted, you know, a picture of my kids' smiling faces enjoying the parade. So I made the call, went with the good old 85, as we've talked about way too much.
Right.
85 on the full frame, and that's all I brought.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little difficult. I found it a little difficult to not, I mean, just the conditions were bad because there's a lot of light and shade. My kids were sitting sort of on the edge of the shade. Well, your kids as well.
Yeah.
In the shade, out of the shade, bright sunlight. And on top of that, in the sun, I couldn't see my LCD screen at all. It was very difficult to see even the histogram.
Yeah.
So it was a street fight all day. So that's what I found.
Yes.
You went the other direction.
I went with the wide angle. I actually had two camera. I had both my camera bodies.
I posted a photo.
Yeah. And I had a 70-200 on the crop sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take too many photos with that, but I wanted a few, especially one like I described last week's episode, like the typical run photo where the kids run in a parade break or before the parade. I like that photo, so I wanted the 70-200 for that, so that would allow me to get up as close as I wanted, and then if I wanted to take a few portraits, I would have it. And then I wanted to try out the new lens I talked about getting, and I did get, which was a cheap 19-35 millimeter lens that would fit on the full frame. So I put that on the full frame more or less just for fun, just to tinker on. I had no idea, really no big expectations, but just wanted to get a few wide shots to see how it would look. So I had those two. And then the nice thing I found about the wide angle on the full frame is that when you're in tight spaces like that, like you're all packed in with people, you want to turn and get a photo of your family. Well, with the 85, as you probably found, you just can't get back far enough because you're standing right on top of everybody.
No, you have to get hit by the parade.
Right. And so I can literally turn around and shoot it at 19 millimeters and get everybody in, which is pretty nice. Now, they all look completely distorted, but you get everyone in. And for the most part, it does a pretty decent job. It's usually on the outer edges of the frame is where people really look messed up. In the middle, it doesn't look too bad at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing is they look so distorted that you know they're distorted.
Right.
So you notice something's amiss, and so it's not a situation of, ew, your family looks terrible. It looks kind of funky. But we're going to talk about your lens later.
Yeah, okay.
That's that. So, yeah. So
But I brought a flash. I didn't mention that.
That's what I was going to get at. You went with the off-camera high-speed sync flash to add fill.
Exactly, which I used a little bit. I didn't use it a ton, but definitely it makes a difference in our lighting conditions. It was helpful.
It did. If you compare my photos and yours, one of the things you're going to see in a few of them is your colors do pop a little bit more. Just from adding that flash, you're able to stop down a little bit, whereas I try to balance sort of in between the shadows. You know, try to maintain as much shadow detail as I can without blowing the highlights, but some get blown, some shadows go, it's just how it goes, sort of exposing for the mid-tone. You're able to really compress your images, really hammer that color saturation, and then use the flash to just fill in the blanks. And it looks really good, too. They don't look like flash photos. So that's one thing. Although I did get to walk around and not carry that stuff,
right,
and be in the really good photos,
right.
So it kind of worked out for me.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, wanted to talk about from last week. I didn't mention it. Got a new camera.
Wow.
New to me.
Okay.
It's not new. I forget how many megapixels it is. It's a medium format camera.
So a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, whatever medium format is times. It's 10.
Okay.
And a kite. No, I got a friend of mine is a realtor, and I guess he was selling a house, which is what they do.
Right.
And came across this old camera someone was throwing out and grabbed it for me.
Okay.
And it's called a Kodak Autograph, because you can actually write EXIF data on it. That's the big deal.
Nice.
There's a little window that opens up that you can open up and write on it. And then on the back of the film, and then expose it to the light for a second, and then when you get the film back or process it, your handwriting is there, so you can write down your settings.
Cool, or just write down "I love you, Mom." Or
I suppose you could do all of that. Yeah. The stylus that it came with is no longer there. That was not on the camera.
Okay,
I'm probably not going to bother picking one up.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to use it yet. There's film in it. I should mention also that the cameras. I don't know the exact date. I think it was started around. I don't have it in front of me, so someone's going to correct me on this. But they started making them around 1914.
Wow!
And until the early 20s.
And so you expect it to work?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. There's not much to go wrong with it. I'm sure the LCD screen scratched. No, there's not much to go wrong. It's got a little leaf shutter with only four settings, but two different shutter speeds. There's 25th and a 50th of a second.
Okay.
So you're not shooting sports with it.
Right.
But it's got, and in terms of focus, it's got three choices. I had no idea about this camera before I laid eyes on it. I didn't even know how to open it. I had to kind of mess around with it and figure out how to open it because it folds flat. You pop it open and then slide the bellows out. And then in terms of focus, it's called a fixed focus, except where there's three options. There's like 8 feet to infinity or 25 feet or 50 feet to infinity. There's three different settings that you can set the bellows at depending on roughly how far away you are from your subject.
Okay.
And the idea being that everything's going to pretty much be in focus at that point because you're going to shoot it like an F-16 or – although it goes past F-8, but you're likely going to stop down
right.
And shoot outside. I don't know what it syncs at. I don't know if we can high-speed sync this. But the good news is there was film in it. Now, it may have been opened already, so we'll see. We'll see if it's been fogged or whatever. I'm going to develop it and see what's on. There's only 5 frames were taken. So it could be something recent. It could be something old.
Great.
So we'll find out. Maybe we have a, maybe it's Robert Capa's old camera.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or that, what's her name? The what's her name from the lady from Chicago who they found all of all her photos.
I don't know.
Dorothy something. Dorothy Meyer. So there you go. So that's, I wanted to mention that. So I look forward to messing around with that.
Yeah. I imagine it's probably a, you know, a bunch of frat guys doing something inappropriate off of a balcony. That's probably what
during you're
gonna
World find. War
I. Yeah.
Probably. Probably. Probably what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to talk about the photo album I made too.
Yes.
That was
been on pins and needles for a week.
Well, you saw said album.
Right, I saw it, but the rest of us.
Right. Well, so here's, you know, I know you do something very similar.
Yes.
With your kids for their birthdays, and we took we I don't know if it was you who gave us the idea, but other people we
probably
know do
no,
it.
I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah, we called the Adam.
Yeah.
We make an album of the previous year for their birthday.
Right.
Well, last year we kind of just it got away from us, and we actually didn't get it delivered until around Christmas time, which is pretty late. So consequently, this year, with all the stuff that we've been doing, packing up our apartment, moving, coming to Canada, not only did it slip my mind, we just didn't have time, even if it did. Even if I had thought remembered. So the day before her birthday, it hit me, oh my God, we have to make this album. So in the span of, and we had stuff planned the next that day. So I had to, in between, every time I had 5 minutes, I would run to the computer and just sift through photos from the previous year,
right,
with her in them, quickly, but in, I would say, under an hour, spread out throughout the day, took an entire year's worth of photos, which is a lot of photos, got it down to 150 photos that I liked, quickly put them on a card, ran down to London Drugs, got them printed, picked them up the very next morning, threw them in an album, boom, had an album, a whole year's album done like that.
That's impressive.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the key takeaway here is to keep your photos organized.
Okay.
Had I not been on them all year and had them month by month and all that stuff, I would not have been able to tag them that quickly and find them and get them out the door. Now, I could have gone a step further. I could have actually, throughout the year, as I take them, tag them for potential birthday inclusion, which I had not done.
Right.
I might do. I won't do. I'm not going to do that. But that would be something that I could have done to save myself even more time.
Right.
And you saw the photos.
Yeah, they were good. I liked them.
What did you like about them? Specifically.
They were printed. That you went that far and put them in an album. I like that. I appreciate that. I don't like... I mean, I like looking at people's photos online. That's all fine and good. But I like hard copy stuff like that. It reminds me of how things used to be in the better times.
Right.
I like hard copy. So for me, that's how I want to look at photos.
See, I agree with you because, you know, it's easy to look back at the old times. Go, everything was better then. It wasn't better.
No.
No, not everything was. You didn't have air conditioning in your car when you were a kid.
No.
And guess what? Air conditioning is awesome.
Yeah.
I love air conditioning.
Me too.
I don't like having to have a computer engineer degree to order to run the system in the car. It's very confusing, some of them.
Absolutely.
So they could have stopped in 1978. However, some stuff is better.
There's a sort of nostalgic feeling to photos because that's, again, with photos, you can have an okay photo, but printed in an album, there's just a different feeling. Some photos that I have printed, if you were looking at it online, you might just kind of skim by and not think much about it. But there's a context to when you do it the way you did it, and you put them all kind of in a sequence from beginning of year. It sort of tells a story. So you're looking at them as a group more than as individuals. I mean, when you get to an individual photo that you really like, you kind of have an appreciation. But again, I think it's more the story of pictures that I like.
I think you're right because I tend to be slightly more discriminating when I'm getting them printed. I mean, I will edit photos out and say, all right, this, like, I don't need two of this, for example.
Right.
When you go digital, sure, you have 10 photos and you get it down to three. That's not far enough.
Right.
You can still tell the story with one. And so there's that aspect I like. And I also try to think of the entire album in a macro level and say, okay, how does each picture fit into the story, and is there an arc through the whole thing? You know, what are the big points that we hit? So, and I know you do, you think that way as well, even if you don't do it overtly, deep down, you do think that way.
Well, and I usually set the photos month by month, and then from there, my wife kind of does the rest, and she puts them in an album. She doesn't do it in the same way you did. She usually gets a photo book made, you know, through like a company, like one of those. I think she uses Shutterfly, just to give them a plug. But no, I think what she does is she kind of selects the photos and then adds little captions and stuff. So she goes a step further, and then the kids love to read through them. So she tries to jazz it up a little bit with or spiff it up a little bit with some of the things that you can do in those programs.
Absolutely. Normally, We do the exact same thing, but by hand. We do the black pages, and we glue the photos in.
Right.
And I do all of that. I get all that done. I select the photos, get them printed, glue them in the album, usually with my wife. And then she goes with the silver pen and writes in
a few things, yeah.
We didn't have time for that this time, right. So they did get thrown into an album. That album was then gifted to my dad. Actually, the whole point was I knew I would give that album to my dad. And let it stay here because I'm not going to take it back to Germany with me. We'll actually get the exact same 150 photos printed again and make the album that you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, and then for my son, we'll be tired of that. So, I don't know. We'll get him a Game Boy or something.
Yeah, get him a bar of soap or something to play with.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the route we're going to go. So, once again, I think we've mentioned it before. Get your photos printed.
Yes.
It's the better. Photo challenge. Oh, Amazon.
Yeah.
Almost forgot. We probably would have made $0 this week.
Get your photo albums on Amazon.
Get them on. They sell them on Amazon. Yeah. I think Amazon does everything now.
Get your industrial home printing set up so you can print them all at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
$10,000 printer.
Okay, now we're pushing it.
All right. Maybe they're cheaper than that. I don't know.
I have no idea what printers cost. Yeah. I don't like dealing with printers. We talked about that before. Yeah. I like sending them in. You here. You do it.
Yes, I agree.
And it probably cost me an extra $25 a year to not have ink on my fingers.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, I agree.
So, Amazon. So if we click through our site when you buy your Amazon purchases, it helps us out a great deal.
Yeah. Get a shiny microphone like you've got over there.
I bought it locally.
Oh,
sorry.
Too bad.
I don't know that they sell these on Amazon because Amazon Canada doesn't handle everything the same.
Okay. Amazon, I hope they do.
Amazon America does. They do sell everything.
Okay.
So I don't know that Amazon Canada sells these. So I bought this brick and mortar.
Okay.
So they're good people. Great. They don't sponsor the show though.
Great.
So I'm gonna go down and smash their windows. Demand some protection money. Hey, be a shame if something happened. Just saying. It's got a nice looking store here.
Yeah.
So there's that. Photo challenge this week.
Canada.
Am I going too fast? I feel like I'm getting pressure from
your droopy... You had some speed.
Your droopy eyes
are
telling me.
I think either you're going super fast or I'm going super slow.
I'm going to slow it down a little bit now that you say that.
Okay.
We're going to talk about rockets or something.
Canada Day.
That's right. You gave us the topic was Canada Day.
Yeah. I think I gave you a bunch and then you just selectively kept weaning it down and then changing your mind. And then this is where we ended up.
The funny thing is, like we already talked about it, but when we went out on Canada Day, our families got together and spent Canada Day parade together. And I completely forgot that there was a photo challenge until after the parade. And I thought, oh, wow. Like, I mean, I know I did shoot photos, a few of them, but not nearly as many as I thought. Like, I thought I would fill a card.
Yeah.
I did not. I think I shot, like, 25 photos.
Yeah, and I probably shot 100.
On each camera?
No. I think about 100 total.
Oh.
I swear. Really? You might have thought I shot more photos than I actually shot.
But you mimed a lot of them then.
Yeah. I had the camera, but I was kind of waiting for stuff to happen that didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I really only shot about 20 photos on the 70-200. Most of my photos were tinkering with the wide angle, and some of them were of the parade that were all just delete. I just want to see how much I get in a frame.
Right. Oh, so like a tester stuff.
Yeah, so I did shoot some photos that, again, I had no intention of using, but I was just interested, yeah.
Well, it's a good way to test drive the camera. So, or the lens. Which photo are you going with, A or B?
I'm
going
to go with the one of you and Sarah.
I do like the... One A better, but for the sky. But let's have a look at what's going on here.
Yeah, I want to include this one because this was sort of the... I talked about this on the last episode, that sort of as a tradition, Sarah and Jack usually will kind of, you know, run down the parade route before the parade starts. And then I usually shoot a photo that sort of just marks this year's parade. This is our personal parade. Jack, as you know, wanted nothing to do with it this year.
Correct.
And so Sarah recruited you to take part.
I beg to differ.
Oh, did you recruit her? I thought she recruited you.
No. Oh. I asked her.
All right. Well, there you go. So here's yourself and Sarah running down the parade route. So this was shot with the 70-200 at an f4, and I want to say probably somewhere around 1/500th of a second shutter speed, and that's it. There you have it.
Love it.
And then I did. I mean, I'll just mention it because it was done with the wide angle. So. We'll post it as well, or you'll post it and I'll just say, hey, we'll post it as well. But I did one with the wide angle. So of Sarah running down the parade route, just to sort of show a difference. And obviously it's a completely different perspective between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the exposure better in the one of Sarah alone as well. But that's...
Is that just a function of the 6D versus the T3? What do you have?
T2i.
Yeah. Is that the T2i versus?
I think so. I noticed with almost all of my photos, like straight out of camera, even though the settings can be very similar, the colors look better on the 6D. I just think it has a far better, from what I understand, digital image processing chip is the way I understand it. It also is way better at figuring out white balance.
Right.
So that white balance that comes out of the camera is just nearly bang on all the time, or as bang on as my eye can tell, versus the T2i is a constant juggling act. So so I just like the color better on this photo. I like the perspective. It's just different. So
I actually like this photo better as well, even though I'm a big fan of me.
Yeah, I thought you would like you.
And well, look at the skies. I mean, look at this is very, very little difference. I mean, this was taken... I mean, she probably ran 5 minutes by herself, 5 minutes prior to me.
Exactly.
And her. So the sky hasn't really changed that much.
And the exposure on you guys, your faces, looks pretty similar in both photos.
It does.
Except for the sky, like you say, looks way better in the other photo. So I'm not sure how much of that is lens, how much... I don't think it's lens, because the 70-200 is a far superior lens than the 19-35 that I'm shooting that other picture with.
Well, says right? The internet. We don't know that for sure.
Well, yeah. I hope so, because one costs a lot more than the other. I just wanted to show that because it's a different look, and I like it. And so that was at like 29 millimeters, I think, was that shot. No flash or anything in this. This is just... I think it's a 1/1000th or 1/1250th of a second on the Sarah shot.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why the shutter speed was slower on the one of you guys. I think I just picked up the camera and went AV mode, and you guys were ready to run, and I just went with whatever it gave me.
So, I was ready to run. I was going very fast. I'm surprised you were able to freeze that action.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to say I can break 10 seconds in the 100, but it's close.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I can't. That's not true.
No.
No.
Is 15 seconds close to 10?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how
Give
fast.
Give or take a few.
I'm not sure how fast I can do that in.
All right, so let's see your photo. So
let's go back and have a look at mine. Now, same thing. I took a few that I wasn't sure which to pick, but let's just go with this one here. I like this one. A lot of red in this one.
Yes, it was Canada.
It is Canada. No, but in other photos, you see, like, you know, there are gaps.
Right.
But this one, I like for a number of reasons. This is my family's first Canada Day parade.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, when I was a kid, that when I would go or whatever, I'm probably, much like we just talked about, sort of overdoing nostalgia.
Patriotism?
No, the nostalgia of it. Oh. You know, like, oh, it was the greatest day, and we used to have a great time. And, you know, without kids, it's a very different day.
Yeah, you get drunk, and then
usually you're drunk by 7 a.m. Yeah. which is not even an exaggeration, but this was very different. So I was very excited for my wife and daughter, and my son's in the back, they're sleeping somewhere. But he's in there somewhere. But I also, and I'm not saying this just because, it was nice to get your wife's in there, your son's in there. I think that's your daughter's arm. Maybe not.
I think so.
My wife's there for sure. She is in the back, and you're there too.
I'm by the bottom of my camera as part of it.
You're part of it. My sister. I believe that's my sister, right above my wife's head.
Yeah.
My wife is decked out in tons of Canada stuff, except for the hat. Oddly, the brown.
At one point, she had little flags on her hat, though. So
we had that. Yeah. She wasn't wearing that here. I think to stay out of your way.
And the sunglasses are on the side, say Canada. You can't see it from that angle.
Vancouver Canadians.
Okay.
The local baseball team.
There you go.
So those were brought for her. My daughter has a very nice red and white polka dot hat that my wife forgot and gave her the pink one instead.
Perfect.
But either way, and we have the new shirts, which are PS awesome. And so I like what's going on here. I like the aspect ratio, the way I cropped it, because it's just kind of it's sort of cinematic.
Yeah, my head gets lost, but
I cropped the bottom.
Oh, okay. My head wasn't in it anyways.
No.
All right.
No, it just kind of cropped it out, so you were out of there. So.
I like the angle of the flag and the position that the flag is in. That's as much as I like your wife and daughter, this photo without that flag is not nearly as good. It's just the flag kind of makes it for me. It's a much, much better photo as a result of the placement of that flag. If that flag's kind of down and tilted in front of them, I think it wrecks it. Or if it's overhead and you lose part of it, it's not as good. But with the placement there, you're not losing really anything in this picture. Mm. And I think, again, when you look back on this photo, it really tells the story for anybody who doesn't know Canada Day. They'll see the flag, they'll see it, and they'll be like, oh, Canada Day, all the red. And yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. And I mean, here's a great example of where I did kind of lose some of the highlights. Like you lose some highlight in the peak of her hat,
right? Because that sun is just blasting down.
It is absolutely hammering. I didn't care. Yeah. I wasn't too concerned about maintaining those highlights. Look on your wife's arm, or my wife's arm, even, or on bits of the leg, or my daughter's hat. These are all places where the highlights go out, and I don't really care too much.
No, and there's nothing you can do otherwise if you're gonna have their faces be too dark. So you have to pick right?
or use the off-camera high-speed sync flash.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that. And I don't know that would have made a tremendous... It would have made a little difference in this case.
Yeah, and it all depends on where you had that light coming in from. But the thing about the off-camera high-speed sync is you're not going to get a huge amount of coverage on it, because I did it in some photos. And so in this photo, you'd see your wife and your daughter like clearly perfectly lit, but everyone else would sort of be probably dark around, and then it looks a little artificial, right?
Absolutely. So that's exactly why I didn't.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's that. Let's see what else I shot. Oh, here's one that I shot later after the parade. You convinced me to give your high speed sync a whirl.
Yes.
So you quickly just popped your trigger on top of my camera, and your daughter was pushing mine on the swings, because as I've established in previous shows, my daughter loves the swings a great deal.
Yeah.
And you saw the number of kids at the playground that day.
Yep.
My kid was not budging.
No.
She was not sharing that swing with anybody.
She hasn't learned about the turn-taking so much.
Oh, no, she's learned.
Oh, she just doesn't care. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. She was just, she got the swing and that was it. If she could take that swing home, she would have. But again, I do like the little Phil Flash this added. You see the shadows under their eyes are still present.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was
a lot lighter. Yeah.
That was some harsh, I'm going to say noon 30 sun. That was
yeah, that's about exactly what time.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible sunshine. And so this isn't the greatest photo ever in terms of lighting, but this really was able to get the fact that I was able to get any image out of this
and this
was
is
nice.
Bare flash, you know, from like what, 3 or 4 feet away from them. So I'm just kind of standing to camera right, you're standing head on, and I'm just basically pointing it in their direction as they swing.
It added an extra 4 seconds to the shoot. We popped it on, I aimed it, and you took a few photos.
Like, we didn't, it was all ETTL high speed sync, right?
Right.
So you just picked your settings, whatever you were going to shoot this at, to expose for the background, and then we just added that little bit of light. So
right.
The key is, it's a much better photo than you would have gotten, and it was zero extra time. You just need to have a set of triggers, which you can buy on Amazon, and or a flash that's compatible to do this high speed sync deal, right?
Right. Absolutely. So. Yep. So there's that one. What else we got here? I wanted to talk about two more photos. One, this was I was going to use it as my challenge photo, because I like what's going on here. This is pre-parade. This is getting ready because, you know how it goes. Get there early.
Yeah.
You told me that.
Yeah.
And then we got there earlier than you.
Yeah.
But here it is, the four of our kids all together getting ready for the parade. I just like, I kind of like what's going on here because I actually like your kids.
Yeah, they're good.
They are good kids. And so that, but you can see here the colors are a little washed out.
Yep.
Because they are backlit. I brought my polarizer with me. It didn't do very much good in this situation. And so this is, we kind of get some washed out colors. The reds just kind of lose their luster.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment is there and all four kids are, well, three of the kids are having fun and one of them's just in the background sort of confused.
Deciding whether to sleep or not.
Yeah. P.S. He slept. And then the last photo is the one we posted, which I'm guessing is going to be the
cover photo.
Maybe.
The album art?
Could be.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the two of us there. First Canada Day together, I think. No. As podcasters.
Yeah. No, I think you were there the year you bought your 5D Mark II. I remember that because you were all like waving it around like you were the king of Sheba or something.
Yes. Yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah.
A thing? Is Sheba a place where you can be a king?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah, and they love the 5D Mark IIs there.
Yeah.
They didn't have any for a while, so the first guy to have one.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, they say in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is the king of Sheba.
Right.
Yeah, you know that one. So there you go. Photo challenge. This week's topic. Are you ready for it?
I can't wait.
Your new lens, buddy. Let's hear about your new lens.
Yay. No, so I was talking about a deal that I was trying to make and might go down, might not go down. It did go down.
Oh.
Yeah. And again, after whining about Craigslist and the goods and the bads, this was another very good experience. So met up with a guy who was like a local guy and he had...
Do you think he's listening right now?
He might. I gave him the two hosers link and everything, sent it to me email.
You want to see his name?
No, I don't remember, to be honest. So something, a guy.
Okay.
Anyway, so
Otis.
Yeah, Otis, sure. So yeah, met this guy. He again lived close by, met up, checked out the lens, tested it out. Everything looked good. The immaculate condition. Like you would have never known it was used ever once. No marks anywhere on the body or the glass. Had all the original boxing and all the manual stuff, which again for lens I didn't really have much use for. And super nice guy. We talked again camera stuff like a couple of geeks for about 10 minutes, even though we didn't need to. Both of us were just interested and we were just chatting it up and talked about the podcast and said he'd be interested. But yeah, he had some really nice stuff. He's shooting a 5D Mark III with, you know, some different L glass, and this was a lens that he just bought, and then he has a much better lens now that has replaced it and has no use for it. And I have a use for it. So, there you go. Those deals sometimes go down. So I paid $130 and
okay.
It's a Takina / Quantaray. Apparently they're the exact same lens, but the Takina name is more recognizable. So people say Takina, even if it's Quantaray, but, the lens. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, I tried to read up on the internet about this, and everything says they're the identical lens. They're made in Japan, and it's apparently Hoya glass. I don't care. It takes pretty good pictures for $130. The end.
What do they go for new? Do they sell them new still?
I don't think they do. No, I think it's an older lens, so I don't think you can pick them up new anymore. So
autofocus and everything?
Autofocus, yeah. No, it works perfect. And again, from everything I read was, you know, don't shoot it as wide open as it'll go because you'll lose a lot of contrast and you'll find that it does well from anything for 5.6 or stopped on further. So all the pictures that I've taken with it so far have been around an F8, F9, and I took some at the beach that I posted on Facebook, and then I took a bunch at the parade, all of which I was very happy with. It does exactly what I was hoping it would do, which is take pretty sharp pictures with a much different perspective than I can get with any of my other lenses. So my intention is when we do some traveling, take some vacations, that I can do some landscape pictures or also just some pictures of my kids with the surrounding rather than just portrait style pictures, which is what I usually do. I can actually capture a little bit more background in those images for maybe some of these yearbooks that we're talking about making.
I find that I do get the occasional image show up in the photo albums, like that I took with my 17 to 40. And again, they're not, like they said, like they're not your traditional photos, but they are a lot of fun when you get it right. The only downside I find is that I have trouble committing to that lens for the day.
Right.
Because for a long time, this isn't a new thing for me. It's not new to pack light. I just, for a lot of different reasons, don't like to bring multiple lenses on everyday things. Jobs, that's different. I take everything. So I don't want to be, you know, stuck in front of a client, of course. But if we're going to go out, like say we're going to go to Stanley Park for the day, I find it hard to commit to the 17 to 40. And I don't know why. I should be able to do it. 40 is a pretty good focal length for people photos.
Yeah.
You know, not everything needs to be at 200 mils. Not everything has to do that. So you want to mix it up. So that's the one thing I need to get better at is committing to taking that lens with me.
I think for anybody out there who is shooting on a crop sensor camera, that you probably wouldn't be doesn't make a lot of sense to me to change from the 18 to 55 kit lens that comes included and go out and buy one of these. This is a lens for people who have a full frame, don't have a wide angle lens, don't want to drop, you know, $800 to start if it isn't something, like you say, that they're fully committed to. So it's a sort of an entry into wide angle photography. And I guess if you really love it and you really want to, you know, take it to another level, then you go out and you spend the extra money for a sharper lens, or maybe you don't. I don't know.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. I can't honestly, so far with the pictures I've taken, look at it and say, oh, hey, I think it could be 10 times better. Like, the cost to me outweighs the difference in what I think the results would be for me personally. I can't think that I'd look at a photo, especially one printed as a 4x6, and be able to say, hey, this is worth 8 times or 10 times the money, or in some cases, maybe 20 times the money.
Right. So, well, it depends on that. If you pick up the 16 to 35 f/2.8, or it's an f/4 now, the new one. But
yeah, I think there is a 2.8. Yeah.
There's a 2.8, but I think I don't know that they still make it. They make an f/4 now with IS, blah, blah, blah. Not what the show's about.
Yeah.
It's going to be like $1,600, $1,700.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money. No, what was I was going to say is this night, the Takino is a 3.5 to 5.6 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So depending on where you are zoomed, yeah, that's what the maximum or minimum aperture, what do we call it? It's maximum, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Sure.
Call it whatever you want.
The widest it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how often I shoot my 17 to 40 f/4 at f/4?
Probably never.
Approximately never.
Yeah.
Like, it comes up, but part of the appeal of the wide angle photography is having everything in focus.
Right.
And so I generally put it at f/8 and only stop down from there.
Right.
That's generally how I shoot. Now, the good part about that is when you're at, you know, at an f/8 at 17 mils, you don't need a tremendous shutter speed to hold that thing still.
Right.
You still have to deal with action. If there's a lot of action going on, you're probably not shooting a wide angle anyways. But even then, depending on which direction the action's happening and where it's going, you can freeze it pretty well with lower shutter speeds.
Right.
So you don't need it to be an f/4. Now, I think there's probably times when you're shooting inside, which is not that often that I shoot that inside. For me, it's an outdoor lens. So I'm not going to spend the extra money, you know, on the f/4. I'm certainly not going to spend the extra money on the f/2.8,
right,
to get the 16 to 35. Now, obviously, there's more to it than just that, than just it opens one full stop. Is that sound going to stop?
I don't know where it's coming. It's not coming from our house.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
And then the answer is yes, it stopped.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, spending that money on that, now everyone loves the 16 to 35, although with the new one that just came out, now everyone's really, I love when this happens, when the new one comes out and they say, oh, finally. That old piece of junk that they had before for $1,600, finally that's gone.
Right.
Yeah, like it was terrible.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, when I was looking for a wide angle lens, because I needed one for video, so I needed it to be on the full frame.
Right.
And so I started looking around and I thought, okay, I'm going to buy the 17-40 F4L. New. I was going to buy it new and started pricing it and thought, wow, maybe I'm not. It's pretty expensive. And even used, like even now I had a quick look, they're going for between $650 and you know, $800 used. That is a lot of money for a lens that you're going to use 5 days a year.
Yeah.
If that. I mean, maybe more than that, now that you have fun with it. I fortunately stumbled into a really good deal and went and couldn't pass it up and went with that lens. And I love it. However, I likely would have had a look at the Takina, just for the exact same reasons you say.
And there seems, and for people who are interested, there seems to be a lot of them out there, which again brings the price down. And there's a lot of that, again, from doing my research, a lot of comparables that are all made in Japan, go by different names. There's, like I say, Quantaray, Takina, Tamron, Cosina is another one, and they're all from the reviews very much comparable as the same lens. The Tamron, again, I don't know if it's just name recognition, and it sounds like that's what people think on the internet. It will drive the price up two or three times, just the same 19-35 with the same specs, but seems to go for 2 to 2.5 times as much as the Cosina or the Takina or the Quantaray, but sounds like the people can't distinguish the difference. So
when you're shooting, you shot around with it a little bit.
Yep.
So what did you do for some test shots? Like what sort of situations did you put yourself in?
I went to the beach and I
shot. When did you, but more importantly, when did you go to the beach?
I went to the beach in the evening.
In the evening.
Yeah. On a nice day where there's blue sky and golden light. And then I shot some wide angle shots because I have lots of those close-up shots with that background, but I wanted to go the completely other direction and get everything in and have the person in the picture, because again, I still prefer to shoot a person in the picture.
Well, it's interesting because, okay, a couple things. One, you went at a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. Two, you went to a wide open place.
Right.
Because the thing with wide angle lenses, guess what they see? Everything. So you're going to go to a place where there's lots of clutter. You're setting yourself up for disaster.
Right.
So you went to somewhere wide open, Gary Point,
yeah,
that we've talked about many times. But not only that, you went to a place that you know.
Yes.
So it's a place that you know very well. You have a lot of photos with longer lenses. You can now compare them while you're shooting, and then later on back at home you can compare and say, oh, okay, you know, here's what I like about this, this, and this. So it's nice to have a control when you're going to go ahead and compare and test drive a new lens. Now, why would it be important to go in nice, even light?
Because the photos look better.
Because the photos look better. That's the yearbook answer, Jim. Good job. With wide angle, one of the issues with wide angle photography is that you now include a lot more opportunity for high contrast.
Okay.
So if you're using long lenses, you're able to isolate your subject more and sort of limit how many, you know, hot spots or shadows are going to fall within that small frame. Well, once you go wide, now you're multiplying that. You're just seeing much more.
Right.
So it's very difficult. But then again, we look at the picture pre-parade, although that wasn't taken at noon. That was probably taken around 9:30, 9:45. Much more forgiving.
Right.
You can see the long shadow behind your daughter. But still, you get really good results. You know, there's no real issues with that photo.
I took a photo that I posted on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it, of my wife with my sister-in-law and my two kids, like on the logs at Gary Point, shot at f/8 at like 7:30 in the evening. And I love it. It looks like it's a lit photo. Again, you get blue skies, you get good light on their faces. They're just basically facing the right way. And it was kind of a little bit of overcast on one side behind me and blue sky on the other side. So we used the giant softbox that was the sky to light them.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a nice even light on their faces and the nice blue sky. And then everything on the ground is, again, evenly exposed because of the lighting conditions. And I just think, like, wow, I could not do that with any of my other lenses. Again, the sacrifice is everything's in focus, but that's sometimes a good thing because we had a pretty much blank slate as the background. Like, there aren't people all around. and you've got all the nice logs and you've got the scenery that is Garry Point. You see the water, you see the mountains, that sort of stuff. And it just looks really good. Again, could not have done that unless I backed up 3 miles with my other lenses. Right?
And even then, it doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
It's a weird perspective. The funny thing is when we move from point and shoot into SLR photography, the big thing is, well, let's blur the background.
Right.
Blur the background. And then this sort of situation comes along, and you sort of appreciate when you purposely don't blur the background. Now, I still blur the background more times than not.
Me too, yeah.
You know, to varying degrees.
Exactly.
But I like having the control over it. But in this situation, yeah, you want to include everything. And the great thing is when you have your subject fairly close to the camera with a wide-angle lens, well, if you have people in the background, they tend to be very, very small, just the way the perspective works.
Right.
And so they're not as distracting. They're very difficult to photobomb
right.
at that point. What is one of the disadvantages of shooting with this? You pointed one out the other day. I'll give you a hint. It had to do with the lens hood.
Oh, yeah. So the first time I threw it on, the lens hood wasn't perfectly lined up. And so because I was shooting as I was messing around, I was shooting a lot of them at 19 millimeters, right? That was the widest that I could shoot. It would actually, on the bottom edges, it would catch the lens hood. So the lens hood would actually show up in the bottom frame, which I couldn't tell in bright light looking at my LCD. But when I got home, I was like, what the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then clearly it was the lens hood. And then so I thought, okay, is that just how wide it is? And is my lens hood, you know, not put on properly? Well, I the next time I went out, which was Canada Day, I made sure that the lens hood was on exactly in center, and then I did not get any of the lens hood in the photos.
So. Pretty common.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch out for that one.
Yeah.
Other than that, did you find like a certain focal length that you prefer? Did you shoot
in
everything?
The sort of mid to high 20s seems to be where I was preferring it. In 19 millimeters, it seemed like, again, there was a lot more distortion around the edges of the frame,
mm-hmm.
especially if people are involved. You noticed it a lot more because their faces look all warped and weird. But with the other scenery, it just doesn't. It looks weird. It almost looks a little fisheye-ish, but not, because it's not shaped that way. I don't know how exactly to describe it, but let's just say distorted around the edges.
Okay.
Versus at 29 or 30 millimeters, I couldn't notice any of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just that my kids are really good looking, but nothing looked off at 29 or 30 millimeters. Like their faces didn't look warped or anything like that. So yeah, that seemed to be, and that's also the difference from 30 to 50, because I would normally on the full frame, the widest angle I could shoot at would be with a 50 millimeter. So I was still getting so much more inclusion of the background at 30 millimeters, but keeping it sharp through the whole frame and not seeing any distortion, that seemed to be the sweet spot. I mean, there'll be situations where I probably will shoot 19 millimeters, like if I travel somewhere exotic and just want to see almost like a panoramic view.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I think most of the time I'd be using this lens closer to in that 30 to 35 millimeter range.
See, I still fight the instinct to just shoot everything at 17. The extremes.
Right. Because
you can.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I get to 17 and I think, I should have bought the 16 to 35. I could have gone to 16.
Yeah.
Which sounds like funny. It's only 1 millimeter, but at that range, that's a big millimeter.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference. I tend to not really go through because, I don't know, I always think, why would I shoot at 40? I have a 50 mil lens just for this.
Right.
Silly. It's horrible thinking. So I'm going to try to shoot more in and around the 28 mil area.
Yeah, and it made my thinking is, if I really like this, more than likely, if I use it enough, if I like the results, rather than buying a higher end version of this lens, what I would more than likely do is buy a prime in the 28 millimeter range. Like, I know
right.
Canon makes a 28 millimeter,
which my
USM,
dad has,
and that seems to be more likely what I would put on an awful lot more, a 28 millimeter. And you can get you could get the 2.8, which again, I'm not sure I would use
the 1.8,
but I'd probably use it at a 5.6. But
right.
I think you can get those for like 400 to 500 bucks. So
I think those are the 1.8 you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's the 1.8. It seems to be the same
maybe
line.
Maybe 600 or 700.
There's the same line that makes our 50 millimeter and our our 85
right.
makes a 28 mil,
yeah.
whatever that is. It's
yeah.
USM. It looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's the more budget version of
that
it.
That is yeah. the F1.8.
Yeah.
And there's a 2.8.
Okay. The 2.8 is more expensive.
Yeah. The 2.8 is cheaper.
Oh.
It's like $280, I'll say.
Okay. But that's not a USM.
It's a plastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Toy lens.
Yeah. They've come up with a new one. I thought though.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
But
yeah.
I've used my dad's many times, and you know, for video as well.
And which one's his? Is his the cheaper one?
His is the 1.8.
Okay.
And I like it because he'd originally bought it for a crop sensor, you know, instead of the Sigma 30 mil like I had
right.
and you have.
Yeah.
Have had.
I have it.
You still have it?
Yeah.
And so instead of buying that one, he went that way, which I kind of wish I had. Sort of, just so I'd have the flexibility
yeah.
of putting it on now. But I find that while I like it, I think I don't know that I want to shoot a whole day with it, with just the 28 mils on a full frame.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It just it's not a focal length that pleases me. It's not wide enough for what I want, and it doesn't have a long enough throw for what I want.
Okay,
so it's not my favorite lens, and I've shot with that a lot, like on the old film cameras. Because I have a 28 millimeter f/2.8 in the old FD mounts
yeah.
for film, and I shot a lot with that. You know, I you know go traveling and shoot with just that all day, and ultimately, it just wasn't for me. Great lens,
yeah,
not for me.
Yeah, well, that's good feedback.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think what we're going to do is, I don't know if it'll happen before next show. We'll have to have a look at the schedules. A lot of goings on here, but Adam and I'll do a shootout. The 17-40 on a full frame versus the 19-35 on the full frame.
Now, will we try to take the same shot or just completely different? Like, it's hard to compare.
Well, I assume we would.
Different lighting conditions.
We'd each go 20 paces, turn around, and shoot it out.
Oh, wow.
Are we talking about the same thing?
I don't know. Are we?
Yeah, I want to be Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
And you be that other guy. I forget who won.
I want to be Doc Holliday.
Really, I want to be Wyatt Earp. I think he survived. No, we'll go shoot the same thing, I think. Like, this won't be a photo challenge. This will be a thing, and we go out
right.
and go out and shoot around Gary Point, I'm sure, and just shoot a couple different shots at the different focal lengths and compare and see if it's worth the, let's say, 6 times price.
Okay.
Probably, I would say you could do, yeah, 5 times.
Now, will we have to shoot on the same camera body? Because like I say, the 6D processes things pretty awesome.
Good point.
Which, again, if we put them both lenses on the same body, we're controlling for that. I'm a scientist. Got to control for these variables.
So we're going to be going down to the beach with the sand is blowing around and just keep constantly pulling the lens off.
Or maybe not.
Exposing the sensor.
we'll just say, hey, these are the conditions,
mm-hmm.
but you're comparing more than just lens to lens
here. Yeah, we'll compare the 5D Mark II.
To the 6D.
Yeah, so that's
a
happen.
Pretty level playing field.
Well, there. Yeah, we'll compare the 5D Mark II with the L lens to the 6D with the one you found in the Cracker Jack box.
Sure.
And we'll see how that goes. I got a feeling that it's going to be, in a lot of the scenarios, the ones that matter, it's going to be hard to distinguish.
I agree. I don't think you're going to see a lot of difference.
I'm thinking at around 19, or the wide, maybe we'll just go who can go wider, and at you know at wide open and compare, you'll probably see a big difference. But again, I don't want to spoil the ending for next week's shootout or the week after, but it doesn't really matter that much.
Right.
Can't believe we're advocating buying the cheaper one.
Yeah, buy it on Amazon.
Don't though. Buy that one. I mean, buy the expensive one on Amazon. Are you kidding me? So, photo challenge for this week. Let's go wide again. We've done go wide before.
Yeah, I don't really remember.
Right, I'm sure I won.
I know we did it. I don't remember what I did, so it couldn't have been that good.
No. I don't think mine was very good either. Still better than yours.
Okay.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Let's go wide now that you have the new lens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shoot the 17-40. On the full frame. That's my tip for you. That's what I'm going to shoot this week.
Okay.
So any subject matter you want.
Okay.
Done.
All right.
Adam, where can people find your photos?
Two Hosers Facebook. So, and I will post some Canada Day photos. I haven't done that yet. By the time this gets up, Canada Day will be a week old. and I will have some photos up there when this podcast airs.
Man, it'll be America Day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll actually already happen. That's happening when we're recording this. That's happening tomorrow, is it not?
That's correct. Tomorrow's America Day.
Yeah. So.
Although I got news for you. Every day is America Day.
Yeah. Happy America Day. Yeah,
absolutely.
Americans. We know it's not called that, but it's that's what we're calling
it. No, it's
it.
Called America Day.
Okay.
They leave the A as silent, from what I understand. So, yeah. Hope everybody had a good and safe America Day.
Yeah.
So you can find my stuff at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links you need. That's it.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.